The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Welcome to the Bowden Blitz SEC edition. I'm Joe Lisi, joined by former National Coach of the Year, Terry Bowden. Coach, round one is in the books for the college football playoff. Give me your thoughts about the SEC games that transpired last weekend. It started with the upset win by Alabama, carried through to Kyle Field the following Saturday afternoon. Thoughts about the upsets for both Alabama and Miami, respectively?
Well, they were both the spread was pretty close. They're both very evenly matched teams. I'm not sure the best team won, but the best team that day won. But regardless of that, if Alabama continues to play like that, they'll have a chance to move forward in their football game and do a good job there. And so, of course, the other game, Texas A&M did not play their best. Marcel Reed had two interceptions, had a fumble. The last play of the game was the worst one that happened to happen. But those are things they have to correct, as well as Oklahoma going to have to correct. But Alabama proved they can move forward. And I think in a game where they had to go out there and make something happen, I don't think you can get into a game like that and be down 17 in a quarter and a half and come back unless you've got something special or you've got something about yourself, because that's what they did. It gives them a chance that no matter what happens early in a football game from this point forward, they're not going to panic. And they could very well get behind early, but they're not going to panic because they've already shown that they can come back and win a football game.
I do want to look at two coaching aspects. The DeBoer situation on the road, they trail 17 to nothing. They come back in storming fashion. We saw this team had a monumental and momentum-changing pick six. They also did it against Tennessee earlier in the year. Is that a testament to DeBoer and the coaching staff making adjustments, or more of an implosion with Brett Venables and the Oklahoma side?
I think it applies to both of them in the exact way that you mentioned. If you're a coach that tells kids, hey, put it behind you, throw an interception, forget about it. Miss a putt, forget about it. Always look ahead. Don't let those kind of problems linger. When adversity strikes, keep stepping beyond and looking beyond. At Oklahoma, it was just the opposite. Once one thing happened, it led to something else happen. And then the quarterback stopped making plays. And then the coaches stopped calling quite as aggressive a football game. And it built upon itself. So I think it's a credit to both teams. I think Venables will have to deal with that in the offseason. How did you let that one slip away? And at least for a week, because he's in Alabama, and success only calls you for 1 week in Alabama. I think he's shown in the past and this past game that he builds his team positively, motivates them positively, so that they always feel like they're in the football game.
Alabama now 6.5-point underdogs to the top seed in the playoff. That's undefeated Indiana, and Kurt Cignetti sitting at 13-0. They'll play in the Rose Bowl. Let's take a look at the updated national championship odds, Coach. Entering round number two, you see Ohio State with the best price, which is pretty interesting. They're the number two seed. They have a plus 180 price. Indiana at 3-1, Georgia at 5-1, Oregon at 7-1. And then we round out, you see Tech, Alabama, Miami, and Ole Miss with the interim staff coach not given any credit at 22-1.
Well, I mean, I would think it's like I would think it would be. If you told me which teams I thought had the best chance to win, those are the ones I would think, because I don't think people, although Indiana is the number one seed, I think most people, there's a consensus of people that feel that Ohio State still has the best team, and if those teams match up later on, they feel like Ohio State will win the second game. That's to be seen. But I think right now the question is, do you have a feel for a team that can be hot? Is there a team up there? And there is, is Oregon. There's a team. Does that team get hot? Does Georgia play so well toward the end? Is that a good game to jump onto at a 5-1 odds? And so I think the odds are pretty much how I would think they should line up, because I think it does drop off after those. Like I said last time we were together, after the first five, I think it does drop off a little bit, although I give a little more credibility to all three of those teams that played well, Alabama, Miami, and Ole Miss.
I think the second tier, Tech straight through Ole Miss, all have potential upset ability. Now, Texas Tech is a 1.5-point underdog to Oregon. Alabama, I think, just from a personnel perspective, has recruited, you could say, better than Indiana, right? The 4 and 5 stars that Alabama get maybe isn't what Cignetti got in his first couple of years in Bloomington, even though they're undefeated. He coaches them up. And then the rushing attack of Miami, if they bring that type of game, they could potentially upset Ohio State. But I do want to stick to Ole Miss. Their quarterback is as hot as anybody in this playoff. And when you think about Trinidad Chambliss and you think about his big play ability, you know, not given enough credit in the Heisman talk, but he is still a dual threat type of player where Ole Miss potentially can ride him if they get the upset win over Georgia.
Well, that's going to be the key. They've got to do it next game. They can't be down the road. He has got to have a great game. They've got to be able to run the football. And again, Ole Miss's problem is not on offense. It's on defense. And if that were to happen, they're going to outscore Georgia, because Georgia runs the ball very well. And Georgia's put some points on the board too, put 28 up against Alabama in the SEC championship. And so I think if what they've got to do at Ole Miss is make sure their defense doesn't give up big plays. You know, when you're a team like Ole Miss, don't lose the turnover battle. Don't lose the big play, the explosive play battle, because those things change ball games. And if they could not do those, they can go out there talent-wise and score with people. But again, they are going to have to score, and they've got the offensive people to do it if the other team doesn't outscore them because of their defense.
Were you impressed with Golding and Charlie Weiss Jr. having that team prepared? They came out focused. They build a 14-0 first quarter lead before you could even blink. Is that a testament to what the staff did, or just the athletes and just being outmanned on the other side of the football for the Green Wave?
I think mostly it was athletes, but that doesn't take away from the coaching aspect of it. We needed to see an Ole Miss. They needed to see what they saw. They needed to see a easy win, a convincing win, a win very much like the one before, but it's one that says, you know what, maybe it wasn't Lane Kiffin calling the plays. Maybe it was Charlie Weiss calling the plays. It seemed that Golding sure made it seem like that's what it was. And although Golding doesn't have the athletes on defense that they had last year, they played well enough to win. And if you watch the way the fans reacted to the game and reacted to their coaching staff and to their team, they have all bought into this. And so I think that's a very encouraging thing, because I'll be honest with you, the next big thing that's got to happen, he's got to find a coordinator on offense. The biggest thing that's got to happen to Ole Miss is after the season's over and Charlie Weiss is gone. And there's a reason Lane Kiffin took Charlie Weiss so fast. First guy he wanted was that offensive play caller. He's got to make the right call on that one, or you might just see Chambliss Chambliss playing for LSU.
Now, when you look at the SEC as a whole, they had five teams entering the playoff. Two of those teams lost with the head-to-head, Oklahoma and Alabama, and obviously A&M going down at home to Miami. They now have another head-to-head with Ole Miss and Georgia. Whoever wins that ball game potentially could be the only team standing if Alabama doesn't take care of business against Indiana. Do you still feel confident that potentially one SEC team could be in the national championship game?
Well, I've always liked Georgia from the very beginning. From the beginning of the season, I felt like Georgia would be one of the things. Now, I, like a few people, went crazy on Penn State early against Georgia, but I have not lost my thinking on Georgia, especially in the way they have improved and played in the second half and the amount of experience Kirby Smart has in championships games. However, they're going to have to prove they're the national championship team by beating Ohio State in the semi, because they don't get them in the final round. So they've got to play at top caliber level in their next game if they win against Ole Miss, because that, to me, is going to be the game that determines who's going to win the national championship.
When we come back, Coach and I will take a look at another in-depth look at Georgia's offense and defense. We'll also take a look at the SEC quarterbacks, potentially which one is poised for a breakout performance in round number two. We'll come back and break that down, as well as some of the other games in round number two, coming up next.
The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app, with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Using my GI Bill taught me I can do anything, and seeing me graduate taught my daughter she can too. VA benefits cover tuition, housing, and supplies. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi and Coach Bowden talking round two in the SEC for the college football playoff. We left off talking about Kirby Smart and the Georgia Bulldogs, SEC champions for the first time back-to-back since 1982. It's a 43-year drought that the Bulldogs snap with their win over Alabama back in December. Let's take a look now at the Georgia team, 12-1 overall, Coach. They did win this game against Ole Miss earlier in the year, but from a defensive perspective, they were abused by Ole Miss in the first half of that matchup. They trailed 21-16. They allowed Trinidad Chambliss and that offense to score on the first five possessions, but they made second half adjustments, second time around, a benefit to Kirby Smart and the Bulldogs entering this matchup.
Well, that's the thing that we're going to see probably in the upcoming game, and that's going to be a huge factor. They're going to face an offense that's versatile, can run and throw the football, and the Georgia defense has not been as dominant at attacking the quarterback, at sacking the quarterback. They're not nearly like they have been in their championship teams. So they've got to run that football, and their offense has got to do well as well, because the one team of the SEC teams that are remaining that is balanced, and this goes to the favor of the quarter, it helps the quarterback, is Ole Miss, because they can run and throw the football, which means he's not forced into bad situations. Ty Simpson at Alabama, he may have to throw it a lot more. He may get more numbers, but it's because they don't run the ball. And Georgia, if they're playing well, the quarterback just needs to manage the offense, get what they give you, because they're going to go run that football. If they're in control, they're going to run that football.
Let's take a look at Georgia's quarterback. Gunnar Stockton has had a very solid season, 23 touchdowns, only 5 interceptions, but he could also run the football in the RPO game. Talk to me about his potential skill set going up against the worst rush defense in the playoff and Ole Miss allowing 147 rushing yards per game.
Well, he'll just do it. Get the ball to the right person. His job will be to make sure they run the football or the RPOs when they overplay the run and let their offense just take care of itself. I do think the reason he has had such a good season, and he doesn't put out large, incredible yardage numbers. He just plays good, solid football, 70% passing completions, very few interceptions in the games, and he manages that offensive well. So, again, what he needs to do is make sure, and he runs the ball well when he needs to run. He's not a dynamic cut and move back and forth and shifty. He's not a shifty runner. He's just a smart runner. And so he really plays the Georgia defense, Georgia's offense, like we've seen the quarterbacks that are successful at Georgia. He's their type of quarterback.
He is. He's averaged 3.8 yards per carry, but he has 442 rushing yards. That's third best on the Bulldogs, and 8 rushing touchdowns. We've seen him break contain in the RPO game. And again, if he could put pressure on Ole Miss's defense on the perimeter, that could open up potentially the rushing attack for Nate Frazier and Bowens that love to run it between the tackles. The one thing for me too, Coach, that I've seen about Georgia – in terms of how they've been progressing week to week, has been the physicality of the offensive line. From the start of the year to now, they are probably, I believe, one of the best rush offenses entering this playoff, and they're going to challenge this Ole Miss defense between the tackles. But Gunnar Stockton could be that X factor. And again, a valuable veteran that played in this college football playoff last year, losing to Notre Dame.
Yeah, and the fact that they don't get behind like they did early in the season. When you get behind like they did early on, it was always catch up, throw, 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 catch up, catch up. And yes, they won all but one of their football games. It was always having to catch up with the other team. But they don't play, they play strong defense. They don't fall behind. They've gotten to be a better football team. And that plays right into Gunnar Stockton's hands and the Bulldog offense, because it allows you to run the football and take what they give you, doesn't force you into predictable passing situations.
Let's take a look at the quarterback that Gunnar Stockton's going up against. He's faced him earlier in the year in Athens, Trinidad Chambliss. We talked about his versatility, his mobility. What is he going to have to do in this round two game to potentially give the Ole Miss Rebels the upset over top-ranked Georgia?
Do not try to win it all by yourself. Don't have turnovers. The only thing he can do to mess this thing up, because he can run, he can scramble, he can make every throw, is to think he's got to do too much. And against Georgia, that's going to create turnovers. Because, again, in a game like this, from this point back to this point forward in the playoffs, the team that turns the ball over, that's just, it's going to be hard to win a football game against another good football team. So as the quarterback, and half the snaps in the game, the ball's going to be in your hands. Make sure, number one, you do not turn the ball over. Be relaxed, be poised, but don't take unnecessary risk with the footballs and create turnovers. And that's about the only thing I think he could do to mess up his game, because I think if he just plays his game, he'll find shots to go with their running attack.
Are you confident in the coaching staff to potentially make adjustments based off the first round or the earlier matchup in October, or is this where potentially Lane Kiffin can hurt this team not being available from a game plan perspective?
Well, I mean, defensively, I don't think Lane Kiffin, and I know I've been through many halftimes, I don't know how much input he would have to the defensive staff, any adjustments they would have to make. I do think he would sit with the offensive coach when they were working on their adjustments, and he would offer suggestions. But I really think they've got – Charlie Weiss has been recognized as one of the top play callers. And I don't think – I think suggestions come in between series or at halftime and those kind of situations that Lane would offer. But I think the overall, the play-to-play scheme of the game will be fine with those quarterbacks. Again, the weakness would be Lane is a guy that gives advice probably offensively. and would make some decisions that might sometimes some decisions only a head coach can make, because he knows he'll take the blame. If it doesn't work, he can take the blame. And sometimes it's nice to have a head coach say, you do it no matter what. And all of a sudden you get a big play, you get a trick play, you get them doing something that the coordinator might say, man, my future, this depends on me. You don't get what you want to get. And so it's a little bit nicer when a head coach can say, go do it, you know, and you know it's going to be done. It's going to be, and the responsibility is going to be on that head coach.
It's potential as well, Lane knowing Kirby, knowing his tendencies, obviously, yeah. With their days in Alabama. Maybe that's why we're seeing a 6.5-point number in favor of Georgia on a neutral field. It's basically only a 1-point difference from the home game in Athens in the middle of October. We'll come back. We'll talk Alabama and their quarterback, Ty Simpson, coming up next. All right, back on the Bowden Blitz, Joe Lisi, Coach Bowden, taking a look at the SEC quarterbacks facing off against top-ranked opponents in round number two. We talked about Trinidad Chambliss and Gunnar Stockton going toe-to-toe in their second-round matchup. We'll take a look at Alabama and Ty Simpson. He had a dynamic performance week number one against Oklahoma in Norman. He throws for 232 and 2 touchdowns. If he has that type of performance, Coach, against Indiana, is that good enough to not only cover the 6.5-point number against the Hoosiers, is it good enough to pull out the outright victory?
Yeah, they could do that. He has to be perfect, too. He can't throw the interceptions along with that. Because they're one-dimensional, and Indiana plays such good, strong defense, It's going to be done under pressure, because it's going to be done in situations where they know he's going to throw the football. So he's got to have a phenomenal game, because they do, and they do have some really nice receivers. They've got outstanding talent at the wideout position. But I think what's going to have to happen for them to win the football game, Ty Simpson is going to have a great football game, because they don't run it well enough. And he's got to go out there and make plays against an outstanding defense that plays well against the pass. Without turning the football over, he has the ability to do it. We've seen him do it at times this year, but a lot's on him. Of all the quarterbacks in the SEC, they're more on his shoulders than anybody because of the type of offense they've got.
Knowing how they started on the road in Norman, right, and it's a neutral site game, obviously in the Rose Bowl, does DeBoer and the offensive staff potentially utilize a little tempo early on to potentially get Ty Simpson into an early rhythm? Or do you think he just goes maybe scripted plays in this second-round matchup?
You know, the thing that you do with a quarterback in a situation where he's not as experienced, or hadn't had a lot of years, is try to script the plays and make sure he knows exactly what you want of him, and don't get out there and ask him to ad-lib too early. So I would much more think they would make sure. Now, you can script plays and still tempo a little bit. Just make sure it's the ones you went all over in practice over and over again, so that when he gets in that ball game, the first five plays, he knows exactly what they are and what he's exactly going to do. And then you can adjust your offensive plan according to what happened in those plays. And so I would think the main thing is not to put him in a real difficult situation. But I'm going to say this. When you're the underdog, the first thing I usually see a team is they're going after you over top. They're trying to make a play early to let the other team know that you're there for business. You're there because you want to win the football game, and you're going to do what it takes. So look for them to go after Indiana early.
When you look at these second-round games, are we giving advantages to these quarterbacks that have played in round number one? Like Ty Simpson got the ring rust out in maybe the first couple of quarters against a very good defense in Oklahoma. Up until this point, Mendoza hasn't played a snap in the college football playoff. He's on a three-week hiatus since he won the Heisman.
You know, that possibly, but I never worried about being off late in the season. You've had so many repetitions. You know, early in the year, you're not in sync yet, and you want to just play one game after the other early in the year to make sure you're moving toward that good continuity and that good togetherness. But late in the season, a week off doesn't hurt. Now, 2 weeks off, that's a little bit long. to not that, but they're trying to get their timing in practice as much as possible. So I don't think it'll be a factor because we're this late in the season with the talent level we have at the quarterback position. I don't think we'll have as much problem with these quarterbacks playing to their level and to their potential.
We'll take a look at the second round games later next week. We'll be on breaking down all those SEC battles. News in the conference, though, potentially for Auburn and their new head coach, Alex Golish, his former quarterback for USF, Byron Brown, enters the transfer portal. Potentially Auburn coach on the horizon for Brown next year?
I think that's a huge potential because you have Auburn that after Jackson Arnold was benched, the fans got so excited because of Ashton Daniel and then Deuce Knight, and they think there's our future. But all of a sudden, the quarterback that Golish had as his quarterback, and remember, he's already got his quarterback coach, his play caller, and the offensive line coach is already there with the head coach. And he talked all this week about being able to start on page one with everybody on the same page. He would probably want that quarterback to be a part of this system because I don't know that he's better than what they got, I think. I think he's probably one of the best dual-threat quarterbacks in the country. I would definitely think that would be something we'd look at is Byron Brown going to Auburn.
It would be a very good fit for the Auburn Tigers. Ashton Daniels did put his name in the transfer portal. He's moving on from the Plains. We'll see where he plays next year. But Brown is a physical runner. He's also dual threat, has a big play arm as well. We'll see if he transfers to Auburn. For Coach Bowden, I'm Joe Lisi. Enjoy the week. Happy holidays. We'll see you next week on the Bowden Blitz.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.